Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we have sung this morning and had sung for us, and we praise you for that, the fact that love came down at Christmas. And we know that the impact of that has changed lives, countless thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of lives throughout all these years, and we praise you, and we know that that continues to this day, that the Church of Jesus Christ continues to be built, and we praise you for that. Lord, bless us as we come to your word now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Adam, for reading that long section of scripture. And the reality is that I don't really need to preach or to speak this morning, because the scriptures have done that for us in a very, very beautiful way. It's a lovely section of scripture. And of course, that section of scripture from the beginning of John's gospel is reflected when we turn to the section of scripture that we were looking at in John's first letter, if you can remember that. And first letter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And that was the section of scripture that we were looking at a week ago, and I had made the point then that you need to have good memories to be able to remember what we were talking about. We were looking at four aspects of this life that is being spoken of here and the importance of it. So let's just remind ourselves of the reading that we had, and this of course forms our text for this morning. So 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 4, and we read here, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And then this lovely verse at the end, "And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." Again, a message in itself. And we thank God for his word. So, we've looked at last week four distinct stages, and I'm beginning to think that there is some sort of plot taking place, because Adam spoke on Christmas Day morning very well, and he spoke of the four aspects of light, and we repeated those this morning. And of course, he'd obviously seen my notes and is really copying from what was taken there, but that isn't true, because we know that the Holy Spirit is at work. That means that we have to listen even more carefully this morning, because in my mind, there have been too many what you could describe as coincidences. They're not. This is God's hand at work. This is the Holy Spirit speaking and talking to us. And we discover very clearly that we need to look at and to learn four distinct stages in experiencing the life that is spoken of here, both at the beginning of John's Gospel and here at the beginning of the first letter of John. And we see that it is talking about life, life that is given to us in Christ Jesus. So at Christmas time, we begin to understand the reality of what we're talking about here. There is this great connect between Christmas and the message that we're looking at this morning is part two of Christmas, new life. That's the message that we're looking at. Now, I just want to make sure that none of us get confused here. We mustn't. Eternal means the life of God. It doesn't just mean living forever. And sometimes I meet believers, Christians, who seem to talk as though that's all the Christian life is about, just living forever, just living for all eternity. It's not. That is not the right way to look at it. Yes, we do live for eternity, but we want more than just simply living for eternity. And that is the significance of the words that we are looking at here. It doesn't just mean living forever. Now, whilst you may not believe it, perhaps right now at this particular moment in time, maybe you're listening online and you've never thought of this particular point, but I'm going to explain this to you. You, it doesn't matter who you are, will live forever. It doesn't matter if you're what we call saved, someone who has come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether you're somebody that we would say is unsaved, has never met face to face with Jesus, has never understood the sin in their life, never understood the fact that they need to repent of that sin. You see, when God created men and women, and boys and girls for that matter, he created us with a kind of spiritual nature, if you like, within us. And that spiritual nature lives forever. So that goes for all of us. That means immortal. And whether you're saved or not, whether you're a child of God or not, whether you're a believer or not, whether you're a non-believer, you're going to live forever. So that's the first point that we need to reiterate from what we learned 2 weeks ago. Either in heaven or hell. Either in the light or the darkness. Either in love or eternal hatred and conflict, we will live forever. But this morning, this is not the emphasis of the message that we're looking at. We're not here to talk about eternity. What John's talking about here is the quality of life that is so marvelous, so wonderful, so indescribable. And it's this. It's God's life. God's life in us. Eternal life doesn't just mean living forever. It means living forever with God. Now do you begin to see the difference between just living forever and living forever with God? And the scriptures are very clear about the quality that we're talking about here, about the excitement that it should bring. And one of the biggest things that you can tell when you meet somebody and to talk and to ask yourself the question, is this person saved? It's to talk about the joy in their lives. Is there any evidence of the fact that they will live forever in God's love? Is there any excitement in their life concerning these things? And so often, that is the big thing that enables us to determine exactly what is going on in their lives. The thing is, it means living that life right now. And that's the joy of these things. Living with him, having fellowship with him, not when we die, when we leave this earth, but now. You see, our eternity of living with God begins now. When we come to faith, put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and see that slate wiped clean, the cancel button on the calculator pressed, and everything is gone, clear, and our sin is remembered no more. That's when it begins. So why the long faces do we so often associate with Christians? Why the sadness do we so often see in people's lives? When we have the life of God now, to last for all eternity, but it begins now. And that's the life that's being spoken of here in these wonderful scriptures that we have with us this morning. It means right now living with him, having fellowship with him, the life of God in the heart of men and women. What is it? A miracle. A miracle of grace that has taken place. And he has manifested this life and has said, if you come to me, then this life is yours. And we praise God for this. And he tells us in these four verses that this experience of this new life has four stages in it. And we looked at two of them last week. And today we're going to continue and look at the last two. Now, let me make it very, very clear. You need all four of them. And I think that's what my brother said regarding the stages of the light on Christmas Day. We need all four of them because all four of them are applicable. Without all four of them, we haven't got that complete understanding of what this new life is all about. Sometimes people can just let these things trip off our tongues. Oh, have you been saved? Do you have new life in Jesus? And they don't seem to understand the importance, the immensity of it, the excitement, the joy that it brings. And yet here we are meeting with COVID-19 restrictions yet again, but they will not, nobody will stop us from experiencing the life of God in us. And we praise him for that. And we remember, of course, that many of our brothers and sisters have faced much worse than what we're facing today. When people would phone up the Stasi in Poland and report the fact that there were those who were meeting together, and the police would come, clear them out, take what little possessions they had. We don't have to face things like that at the moment, but we recognize that the day is coming. You see, Satan's got one particular dislike, and that particular dislike is God's word. The second particular dislike that he has is people and churches that hold to God's word. So friends, we're on the firing line. Never forget that. But if you have the life that we're talking about here within you, then you're able to stand in the face of adversity. You're able to continue to be joyful, not with some innate grin on your face all the time. That's not what we're talking about. It's a deep joy from within that enables us to overcome, because as Revelation tells us, we are overcomers in all the things that we face. So last week we looked at stages 1 and 2, and this week we conclude by looking at the final 2 stages. Last week we saw that the world was dark and that the life was needed just at that time. We also recognized that Jesus came to earth because the time was right. The darkness was so thick, we read in Matthew's gospel, if you remember, that people just sat in it. They couldn't get up to walk around. And we use the example, I don't know, Megan, if you've been to one of those caves, perhaps with your mum and dad, and suddenly the guy says, let's switch the lights off and feel the darkness. And they do that. And the darkness just seems to weigh in on you. It's crushing. And you can't see your hand in front of your face. That's what it's like without the light of Christ. Jesus came at just the right time. The life was manifested. That's the second point. It was shown to us. The life was needed. The life was shown to us. And now we come to the final two stages. The life was received. Now, isn't this important? The life was received. And then lastly, we're going to look at the fact, and I tell you, the Lord is speaking here. The life has to be shared. Okay, the light has to be shared, as Adam said. The life has to be shared. If you've got the most exciting thing in all of the universe inside you, you can't help but share it. You want to talk to people around you. And we have to reemphasize that point. And we're living in dark days. There are people who are terrified about what's going on at the moment. Some haven't been out of their houses since March of this year. And the gospel is as important as ever, but we see people's lives that are being crushed by the darkness, and we need to make sure that the light is shining. So the third question is very simply this: have you received the new life? Have you received it? It's been offered. God saw the need. Jesus is brought in. That's what the incarnation is all about. And now the question changes to: have you received this life that John has spoken about in the Gospel of John, as Adam read to us, and here as we looked in these 4 verses at the beginning of 1 John? Very simply, have you received the new life? In the earlier verses of John's Gospel, John the Baptist said, I had an experience with Jesus Christ. Now, he said quite a lot more than that, because we saw as Adam was reading that there was a lot of aspects that came into that. You see, John could never forget that day. He was standing by the Jordan River. John the Baptist was standing there, and John the Baptist said to John and to Andrew, he said simply this, "Behold the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sin of the world." Takes away the sin of the world. So John the Baptist says this, and he's pointing, and he's explaining it clearly. And what do they do about it? They follow Jesus. Now, can you think of anything more simple than what has just been explained there? Somebody has explained who Jesus is, and these two men start to follow Jesus. I don't want to sound flippant, but could the gospel be any simpler? Is there anyone here this morning or listening online that doesn't understand what is being spoken of here? They went and followed. And Jesus said, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Master, where do you dwell?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." And they dwelt with him that day. Their lives were changed. In fact, as we read the scriptures, totally transformed. What happened? They got hold of reality. They got hold of eternity. And then Andrew said, "I think my brother needs to hear this as well." Because of the transformation that took place in his life, he said, "My brother needs to hear this as well." And he goes off and he finds Peter. Simon brought him to Jesus. You see, the life was received, and everything changed in their life. They had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And note this, not an external one, but internal. What do I mean? It wasn't just some sort of religious thing that happened to them. It wasn't just some sort of feeling. It was not some outward experience. No, something changed inside them. And this is why the Gospel of John, we discover that John always seems to link, I don't know if you've noticed this before, he links life with something internal. The water of life. What do you do with water? What do you do with water? You drink it. It's exactly right. The bread of life. What do you do with bread? You eat it. You see, the life has to get on the inside. And they received that life as they drank and as they ate. They received that life. In his gospel, John wrote like this. He said, "He came unto his own world as creator, and his own people received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." To receive means to believe. To receive means to believe. To receive him inwardly. And so, the life was received. Now friends, I've asked the question once. I ask the question again. Have you received this life? Because that's what it's all about. That's what the Christian faith is all about. In order for Jesus Christ to give you life, he had to die. In order for Jesus Christ to forgive your sin, my sin, our sins, he had to take our sin. In order for him to impart eternity, he had to go through the sufferings of time. And John says, that life was received. How do you receive that life today? Now, this happens to be a question that more people ask than you're willing to think. Sadly, and I say it that way deliberately, that all over our country, our province and our country and the world, there are people sat in churches and they're none the wiser as to how we receive that life today. Simply through the Word. That's it. The Word tells me about the Saviour. I trust in the Saviour. I believe his word. The life is imparted. Now again, I say it, and forgive me for sounding flippant, but how complicated is that? We've had a great deal of scripture read to us this morning, and Adam read it superbly. The scriptures speak for themselves. And people say to me, I've not been called. I've not heard the message of life. Friends, we have many times. The problem is, have we received it? Do we want to receive it? The life is received. And the greatest of sadness today is this. Many people know that the life is needed. They know that because they look at their own lives. They know what their minds are thinking. They know what their hearts are thinking and feeling. They see the way they behave. They know they need this life. And many more people know that the life was manifested. They believe in Jesus. There's no concern over that. But not many people want to receive it. And I pray with all my heart that nobody in this building this morning is in that category. They say, yes, Jesus did come to reveal God's life and to give us God's life. But what? Well, I've never received it. Why? Now, at this point, you can give me a long list of excuses as to why you've never received this life. But I'm going to tell you this. You cannot give me one good reason why you shouldn't receive this life. Not one good reason. You can talk to me about your job. Oh, people tell me how busy they are at work. I haven't got time to receive the gift of life for all eternity. The gift of God's life. You haven't got time? My friends, I need to spend time with them. And they're not really into these things. So? And my family. I've got 6 children. Do you know what looking after 6 children's like? We're busy. Too busy to receive the life that is spoken of. Oh, you don't know my religious background. Sim, if you knew how I'd been brought up, then you might just understand why I can't receive the life. That Jesus came to give to you. If you knew the things that I was taught, that you cannot know God, that God is always angry with us, then, Sim, you might understand. It's all excuses. Every last one of them. and all the others that I've failed to think of. All excuses. Jesus heard it all in his day. All of them. Exactly the same. Why do you think you're different? When people met with Jesus, they gave him all of those excuses and more. And I say to you, why have you not received the life in Jesus Christ? Which leads us to the fourth stage in this marvelous experience of eternal life. So we discovered that the life was needed. There was darkness, deep, deep darkness. There was death, we're told, if you remember back in that verse in Matthew's gospel. There was despair. People were at their wit's end. Does this sound familiar? People despairing of life. Then the life was manifested, it was shown. Eternal life shown, joyful life shown, real life shown, loving life shown. And the life was received, or it should be, like bread and like water, received into us. And then we talk about the life shared with others as we come to a close this morning. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? That you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things declare we unto you, that your joy, or as some versions have it, our joy, and both are true, that your joy and our joy may be full. It's the life shared. Remember Christmas Day, the lamp, bright lamp, that one, front of the church. The light shines in the darkness. You see, it's inconceivable that a person should possess this life that we're talking about this morning. The life of God, the very life of God that lasts for all eternity, that anybody could possess that and not want to share it with others is inconceivable. And you're here today because your mother and your father shared their life with you. They were part of that great creative miracle that God gives to parents. And if you're a Christian, you're a Christian today because Jesus Christ shared his life with you. And somebody else came alongside you and told you about it. And so John is writing here about the life shared with others. Life that we're talking about here cannot be kept a secret. Life has to grow. Life has to reach out. And that's why this shutdown, this desire to stop churches meeting is so terribly important for us, because this is the very essence of what this is all about for us as believers. Because we encourage each other as we meet together. We grow together as we meet around God's word and as we hear God's word spoken of. And this is why so often, if anybody stops coming to church very quickly, their life falls apart because they haven't got the support and the encouragement of fellow brothers and sisters who know and love the Lord Jesus around them. And if Satan can get us to stop meeting, then he's won a victory in our life. And as you look around, maybe there are some people that you know should have been here this morning or listening online. But Satan has taken their eye away from God's word. The scriptures are clear. Never give up meeting. Never give up meeting. The life has to reach out. And as a fellowship, we love evangelism. We do a huge amount. We're a small church, but look what we do in this town compared to many others. It's not that we're proud of it. It's simply because that's the responsibility that we have, and we will never stop and negate that responsibility. We pray again for the cornerstone that's gone out. We pray that there will be those who will read it, and maybe for the first time in their life, actually begin to put all the different pieces of that jigsaw puzzle together. And suddenly, they begin to understand because the light dawns in their life. And so, John is writing about the life shared with others. Life cannot be kept a secret. But there are multitudes of people who claim to have the life, but they have no burden to share the life. What does that do to me? That makes me wonder whether they really have the life. Because if they did, they couldn't help but share it with those around us. But as believers, we always want to share our joy. We want to share fellowship. And lots of people in this world are building little walls right now to stop fellowship. Building walls physically even around them to protect themselves. Some will say, "Don't get near me. I'm scared. Don't touch me. I'm worried." And the Christian says, "Look, we're reaching out. We want to share fellowship with you. We want to have in common with you what we have in common with who? The Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what the scriptures say. Our fellowship is in heaven. You can come and be in fellowship with us, and let's worship him, praise him, and serve him, and experience the fullness that your joy might be full. Lots of people are empty today. You actually don't need me to tell you that. The emptiness of life is so sad. Yep, they're trying to fill it up with all sorts of things, entertainment and all the other things. But when the film's over, when the play stops, things are back to how they were. And as soon as the effects of the marijuana or the cocaine or whatever other drug it is wears off, the same pain and problems all exist. Only this time they're worse. It's back to the usual. And maybe this time the relationship will last. The sex was good, but it never took the pain of life away. Ka-ching! Money. Give me more money, and I'll be happy. And then the emptiness comes back. Nothing seems to work. You go from emptiness to emptiness to emptiness. And we Christians have the joy of going from fullness to fullness to fullness. And of his fullness, of all we receive, and the grace upon grace, and how we ought to share this with those around us. The life is shared with others. You cannot get away from it. The scriptures are clear. But if you don't have it to share, you can't share it. Now, if you know that you have eternal life, then share it with others. You say, I'm the quiet type. Adam tried to convince me the other day that he's an introvert. Well, God doesn't change our character, but he does our purposes. And suddenly, we can do things that we never ever thought we could do because of the life that's in us. The life that is growing and is in us. So what do? Whatever it is, we do it for the glory of God. Are you sharing the life during this Christmas period? How essential it is that we take advantage of the opportunities that are given to us. People are willing to listen more so at this time of the year. Now, at what stage of this experience are you this morning? The life is needed? Are you still in the darkness? The grip of death? Despair? You need the life. The life manifested, shown. Have you seen that in Jesus Christ is the only life? He is the true God. He is the eternal life. And then the life received. And you say, Pastor, I've never done that. Well, my answer to you is, this morning, do it. Receive it. Who was offered a gift during this Christmas period? And you kept your hands in your pocket. The life is offered. Receive it. Receive it. But then someone might say, but Pastor, what will happen to me? Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. You'll enter into fellowship with life, you'll enter into fellowship with joy, and you'll enter into fellowship with forgiveness. Sins washed away. A new life comes in, a new creation, tremendous power and blessing. All of those things will be yours as you accept the life that is given. And if you've already done that, good. Then you're at stage 4. And you're at the stage of sharing that life with those around us. Did anyone learn from you this last week that there is real eternal life that can begin right now in this world in Jesus Christ? If not, here's the tough bit. Why not? Where were you? Were you too busy? Didn't have time to share, to talk, to explain? What was so important that you allowed that despairing, dark, spiritually dead person to walk by you? When all we had to do was to say, hey, I've got the life that you need. It's needed, yes. It's available, yes. Eternal life, where? In Jesus Christ. What do you do to receive it? You receive him by faith. He that hath the Son, the scriptures say, has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. The promise of Christmas that we have just celebrated together is the promise of life, real life, loving life, joyful life, full life, eternal life, the very life of God. Can you imagine that? The very life of God can be ours. And we praise him for that. Thank you, Father, that as we meet Jesus in the pages of your word, we meet life. and that he's all we need. All that we want is in Jesus. Thank you, Father, that he's available today, that he died for our sins and arose again and returned to glory, but sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. And I pray that today, Father, there will be those here or listening online who by faith will receive Jesus Christ and experience life, real life. Not some satanic substitute, not some fleshly counterfeit, not some worldly pretense, but real life, authentic life, enduring life. Oh, may it be so, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.